unconditional surrender. That's what we have been talking about. The war is over. And we talked about in our introduction to all of this, the surrender of Germany and Japan at the end of World War II, and that was an unconditional surrender on behalf of both of them, okay? We were discussing and we looked at this statement about what is exactly is an unconditional surrender, okay? It is a surrender in which no guarantees are given to the surrendering party. It is often demanded, and look at this part, with the threat of complete destruction, extermination or annihilation, or simply put, with the threat of erasing one completely as the only alternative. Now think about that. So one is put into a position where if I don't surrender, I'm going to be utterly annihilated. Erased, okay? So the choice that I have is either surrender unconditionally or be doomed. That's what an unconditional surrender is all about. We were talking about a spiritual unconditional surrender, and put that definition into the spiritual context of our relationship with God, okay? That we are, all of us have begun as enemies of God. When we sin just one time, we become an enemy of God. Look at what the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1. Once he said, you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. So you see, that wrong or evil behavior causes us to be an enemy of God. Okay. Now, I don't know how many of you realize this or not, but you go against God, that is a losing proposition, isn't it? Okay? You're not going to win that. The great thing is that God has declared the war to be over. Okay? Our war with God is over. How do we know that? Well, look at what Paul says again in Colossians. After having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. God has disarmed the power of Satan. Okay? The victory has been won in Christ Jesus. What needs to happen then? Those who are on the losing side, and that's how many of us? That's all of us, okay? Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and become enemies of God. We have but one choice, okay? That is either to surrender or die, okay? And that's what this is all about. We talk about the terms of surrender, okay? In an unconditional surrender, which is what this is with God, okay? All right, in any unconditional surrender, the victor gets to set the terms. We don't have a say in what the terms are going to be. So there's no bargaining. There's no, you know, what about this? What about that? He gets to set the terms. The choice that we have is whether to surrender or not. Okay? And in surrendering, we agree to live under the terms of that surrender that are set by the victor. Okay? What are the terms that God has set? Okay? We look at what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 9, and where he asked this question, what if God, although choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath, prepared for destruction. Who is that? That's us. That's us. The objects of his wrath. But he, because of his great patience, chose to bear with us. In other words, to give us a chance. To surrender to him. Okay? He goes on to say this. And he did so to make known. God wants it to be known. He wants it to be advertised. The riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy. He wants that to be known to as many people as possible. Okay? The riches of his glory, which he prepared beforehand for glory, even us. He prepared us way before any of this got started, that we might receive his glory. But in order to do so, we have to surrender to him unconditionally. Okay? And when we surrender to him, he rebuilds us and makes us his own. Just like, as I mentioned before, after World War II was over, the Allies rebuilt Germany and rebuilt Japan. Rebuilt those countries that were, because they went in and rebuilt them. And that's what God does with us. When we surrender to him, he takes us where we are and rebuilds us to make us what he wants us to be. So this morning, as we talk about unconditional surrender, here's a topic that we really need to pay attention to, because it's one that so many people struggle with. And that is our past. Let's talk about surrendering our past. All right? We start out by talking about this. You were what? Okay? In the text that was read for us as we began this morning, okay, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, look at what Paul says. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So if you've been any of those things, if that's how you are living your life, he says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will be lost. Why? Because continuing to live in that way is a refusal to surrender to God. Okay? And so the result of that is you will be destroyed. But look at the very next thing that he says. After giving this list of these behaviors that are in rebellion to God, look at what he says. And such were some of you. Such were. That's the key word here we want to look at, all right? Were. Then he goes on to say, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You were all of those things separated from God by that kind of a life. Doomed for destruction. You were that. Right? But then you were also washed and sanctified and justified. Look at what he says over in Ephesians, a text we can study in our Sunday morning Bible class. He says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And then he says, live as children of light. Okay, so live that way. That's who you are now. Live that way. Okay, let's talk about that word were for just a moment. We need to make sure we understand this, okay? Were. Okay? It describes the verb to be. And it is, help me out here, it is past tense. And that's really important for us to keep in mind when we're talking about surrendering our past, okay? Because it speaks of I, he, she, it was, okay? And we, you, and they were. It's past tense. It describes the way things were in the past, but are not any longer. Okay? So that's why Paul would say, all these behaviors, that's how you were. That's how you were living your life. You were that. That's past tense. You were once darkness, but now, present tense, you are light. And that's the part we need to focus on, because that's what he says in Colossians 1, verse 22. All right? You were that, but now Okay? He has reconciled you in his body of flesh by his death. And that's what Brian was talking about and emphasizing as we did our communion this morning. Okay? He did that in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. So you see, there's a difference between what we were in the past as to what we are now. All right? But here's the problem. Let's talk about a blast from the past. Okay? How many of you have any of these? You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. Skeletons in your closet. Anybody got any of those? In other words, those are the things from our past that we would like to just be forgotten about, aren't they? Those are the things that we don't want anybody to know about. And we would just assume that they stay in the closet. Okay? And in fact, there's, you know, some of us, we got more than one, right? And we do everything we can to try to keep that door closed, and sometimes those skeletons are trying to get their way out of there. But the last thing that we want to have happen is for those things to get out. But we got to understand, those skeletons represent what? Our past. Okay? No matter how bad they are, they represent our were. You hearing me? Okay? They represent our were. Now, here's another thing about it you have to understand. We want them to stay in the closet because we don't want anybody to know about them, right? Well, first of all, God already knows about it. So you're not hiding them from him. Like, okay, I'm going to keep them in here and maybe he won't find them. I don't want to bust your bubble or anything, but he already knows, okay? He knew you were going to do it before you even did it. So hiding it in the closet, trying to keep it from him isn't going to work, all right? But here's another thing you got to realize. Not only does God know it, Satan knows it too. I mean, after all, he's the one that kind of got involved in getting you to do it to begin with. Okay? That's what he does. So we need to understand, what do we got to do with this stuff that's our past, our were? Well, Satan is always wanting to remind us of it. Because he knows that if he can keep us reminded of it and keep us afraid of it, then he holds us in bondage to our past, to those things that are in our closet. So he doesn't want us to forget those things. He doesn't want them to be a were. He wants them to be an are in our lives. This is who you are. Why? Because you did this sometime in your life. And he wants to use that to hold us in bondage to him. Okay? So he uses our past to hold us in bondage. The sin that we've been involved in our lives. Whatever it is, he will continually use that against us if we allow him to. Here's one of the things that he does a lot of. You know those skeletons that are in a closet? Reason we want to keep them in there is because we fear that somebody will find out, don't we? We have a lot of fear, don't we, about stuff we've done in the past. And Satan uses that. Okay? And Satan uses it in ways that he tries to convince us that because we did this or these things, okay, then we can't or won't be forgiven for those things in our lives. Here's what the writer of Hebrews tells us about this fear thing. Talking about Jesus, he says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. And free those who, look at this, all their lives were held in slavery by what? By their fear of death. You see, that's what Satan does. He takes the word, he takes the stuff that we've done, those things in those skeletons in our closet, and he holds them over our head and reminds us of them constantly so that we will always be in fear. Can I really be forgiven for that? Will God really forgive me? I know what the Bible says, but I don't know if God will really forgive me. That's what Satan does. Okay? He uses what I'm just calling tough tactics here. Okay? Look at what Jesus said to Peter to kind of get an idea of some of the tough tactics that Satan uses. Okay? Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." Okay? That's what he wants to do. And the sifting, okay, in a lot of part has to do with our past, our sins, to discourage us. Okay? Peter later on would write this. I love this, okay? He says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, okay, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Peter learned what it meant to be sifted. And recognizing that how Satan operates is he's like that roaring lion that's just looking to pounce on us. Because that's what he does. Okay? He uses doubt and fear to hold us into that bondage by our past, what we have done. Okay? He's been using doubt and fear, by the way, really well for a long, long time, hasn't he? You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. What was it that he said to Eve there? Did God really say? And he still uses that today. How many of you have ever heard Satan saying to you one way or another that statement over and over again? Did God really say that he loves you? Did God really say that he would forgive you for when you did so and so? Did God say that the blood of his son would cover that sin? You see how he uses that doubt and gets us focusing on the past that we've done, the things that we've done that are, you know, part of our work. Here's a question for you. You've been traveling, maybe for a while, you're on your way to somewhere, and the kids are in the back seat going, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" Well, here's my experience growing up. We had 7 kids in my family. So with my mom and dad traveling, there were 9 of us. We had a station wagon just like this, and everybody had an assigned seat in the car. And my seat was in the back, okay, with 2 of my younger siblings. I had to ride in the back. And guess what my view was? I got the whole ride, I got to see where we had been, okay, not where we were going. And so it was oftentimes the question, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" Because I don't know where we are. All I see is where we've been. Okay? And you know, the reality is, that's how a lot of us are living out our lives, like we're riding in the back seat looking at where we've been instead of where we're going. You see? So don't look back, because that's not the way you're going. Look forward. Stop looking back at the past. And don't let Satan use it against you. Okay? The Apostle Paul in Philippians talks about him wanting to spend his life and give his life for Christ. He says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and to share in his suffering." And he talks about doing that. And then he says, "But I haven't obtained all of that yet." And then look at what he says next. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And we need to do the same thing. We need to forget about what's behind. We need to be looking ahead and pressing on toward the goal that God has already promised us. He's already secured for us. If we will just let go and surrender our past to Christ. Okay? Come on, move here. I found this to be an interesting statement. I think it's true. Satan knows your name, but he calls you by your sin. Doesn't he? Always reminding you of those things you've done. But God knows your sin, yet he calls you by your name. I like that. Okay? Stop listening to Satan calling you by your sin. Listen to God call you by your name. He already knows your sins. But yet he still calls you by your name. Because you're his. The next time Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. His future is not looking very good, is it? You see? So when he's trying to beat you up with your past, you remind him of what his future looks like. You see? And send him back. Finally, let's talk about the grace that reaches us. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, as for you, again, here's that word, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. That's where you were, past tense, okay? In which you used to live. That was your lifestyle, he says. Okay? When you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. He's still working with those who refuse to give their life to Christ. Okay? That's the way we used to live. That is our were. Okay? But, verse 4, because of his great love for us. And we need to understand that part, by the way, because sometimes we get a little bit haughty and thinking great highly of ourselves and thinking, you know, the reason God's taking care of me is because I'm just such a good person. No, doesn't work that way. The reason he does that is because he's good and he loves us. See? Not because we deserve it. All right? Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. All right? He made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, he says, it is by grace you have been saved.
Amen.
Okay? And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ in order that in the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Grace is wonderful, isn't it? But you know what? We have to accept God's grace. In order for it to be effective, we've got to accept it. See, it's there for the taking, but we have to accept it. We've got to allow God's grace to reach down to us and to take us and pull us to Him. And if we keep harping on our past and let Satan beat us up with the past, we won't ever accept that grace. See. We need to understand how strong and powerful God's grace really is, okay? Because here's another problem. There are a lot of people who are convinced that, and they'll say this about themselves, I am the worst person ever. And when they're saying that, what are they doing? They're thinking about their past, their were. I'm the worst person ever because I've done this, I've done that, and I'm just the worst. And then following that, here's Satan again going, can or God really forgive me for? And you fill in the blank. Whatever that thing is that you have done that Satan is trying to convince you is so bad that it's doubtful at best that God really can or will forgive you. And then there he goes again. Did God really say? Did God really say? Right? Throwing that doubt out there. Am I too bad for God? Am I too bad to be saved? Am I too bad to forgive? And then Satan, just for, you know, just to make sure that he's got us, he tries to convince us, no, there's no forgiveness for you. And no, God doesn't really love you. Well, you know what all of those things are? They're lies, okay? They're lies, all right? Paul has already staked the claim to the worst sinner title that there is. Did you know that? So no matter how bad you think you have been, and maybe you think you are, Paul's already covered that. He's claimed it. Okay, look at what he says in 1 Timothy. He says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. He says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Okay, he claimed that title. This is Paul, who we typically look at and go, oh man, boy, sure, when I grow up, I want to be like Paul, right? You know, because he was so powerful. He says, I'm the worst of sinners. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his, look at this, unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Do you understand what Paul is saying here? He's saying, you want to consider yourself to be the worst of sinners? Now look at me, I'm the worst, and God forgave me for what I have done. And you need to be encouraged by that, realizing that if he can forgive me, he can and will forgive you. You see? The worst. Do you think you're the worst? Satan's trying to convince you you're worse? No. No, you're not the worst. God can and will forgive you. Don't listen to Satan. Okay? Don't listen to him. In Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul talks about grace and the fact that we are saved because we sin. We need grace. God gives us his grace because we sin. And he says, where sin abounded, grace abounded more. Okay? So, again, in other words, is the reason we get grace is because we've sinned. Now, he will go on, we read in Romans chapter 6, he'll say, well, okay, some people might say, well, if that's the case, we get grace because we sin, should we keep on sinning so we get more grace? And he says, no, by no means. Why? Because we died to sin. That's our world. We died to that.
Amen.
You see? But God gives us his grace because we've sinned. You see? Only God's grace could reach so low and lift so high. And I think that's important to remember because, you know, when we're reminded of our sin, those skeletons in the closet, doesn't that make you feel low? How could I do such a thing? But we need to know, say, that no matter how low Satan tries to bring us, God's grace can reach us and pull us up to him. Okay? So you are never too far away from God's grace, no matter what your past has been. All right? So the encouragement this morning is for you to surrender your past. Don't let Satan use it against you any longer. Surrender it to him. But here's an important thing to remember. In surrendering, we need to make sure that we don't try to attach any strings and try to bargain with God. Okay? Again, remember, it's an unconditional surrender. It's on his terms, not ours. So there are no what-ifs and bargaining and trying. No, it's complete and total surrender to him. Okay? So let God take your were and leave it in the past. That's what he wants to do. But that requires a unconditional, complete surrender to him. Will you give him your past so that Satan can no longer use it against you? Okay? Don't worry about what's been in the closet. Okay? Just give it all to him. Let him take it from you so you can be free to serve him the way he wants you to do. Do you believe this one statement that John wrote? 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from how much? All unrighteousness. Not just the little ones, okay? But the big ones as well. Everything. All. In order to surrender to him your past, you just need to believe that. That's a promise from him. Do you believe him? That he will forgive you no matter what. All right? The power of surrendering. That's what we're talking about. Wesley has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And we take this opportunity for anyone, if you have a prayer request, you have a need that we can help you with, to let us know what that is. For those of you who are worshiping with us online this morning, if there's anyone there who has a prayer request or a need, Wesley's number will be on the screen at the bottom of each of the song slides. You can text him during that, and we'll address that after the song is finished. And if there's anyone out there who's not yet a Christian, you've not given your life to Christ, but you're ready to do so, again, you can text Wesley, let us know, and we will arrange with as soon as is possible for you that you can be baptized into Christ and become his child, and you can put the past where it belongs. Right? We cannot help you if we don't know what's going on, so we offer this time and opportunity for anyone to let us know how we can serve you. So if you have a need, all you got to do is let us know. Let's stand together and sing. Wesley, come on up.